So we'll go back traditional tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. If you look around tonight, you'll see there's not very many people here. And I just want to let you know that I don't think this sermon tonight's for everybody. I think if you're here tonight, you're here for, there may be a few that just didn't make it that should be here. But I think the ones that are here, you're here tonight because God wants you to hear this. I believe that. I believe that everybody that shows up for a reason. They don't just, very few people on Sunday night just say, hey, let's get up and go to church. That you're here because something that the Lord specifically has for you tonight. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord that had filled the Lord's house. Now when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to preach your word tonight, God. And I pray, God, for the next few minutes, Lord God, your word would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, O God. Lord, may I pronounce, O God, the things that you've given me in my heart, O God. And may I glorify the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know you can live for the Lord by just being consistent. I know you can live for the Lord by just deciding to come to church. I know that you can live for the Lord by reading his word. I know that you can live for the Lord just by sheer determination. I know you can. There's people in churches all around us that live for the Lord, and a lot of people live for the Lord by just sheer determination. But I want to tell you something tonight, church. It doesn't have to be like that. Doesn't have to be like that. You see, you can have a moment with the Lord to where there can be a fire that comes down from heaven. You can have a moment with the Lord where there's a fire that comes down from heaven and consumes your sacrifice that's upon the burnt altar. And it can put a fire within inside of you, a passion, a burning, an anointing, something that when you get up in the morning, it's not that you read the Word of God because you know you need to. It's not that you read the Word of God because you know that it's a good thing. It's not that you pray because you know you should. It's not those things anymore. It becomes a passion, a fire, something that's shut up in your bones, something that drives you and makes you go forward. I'm telling you, if there's one thing that the Church of Jesus Christ in America today lacks, it's a fire that's coming to our spirit and cause us to burn for God. That fire, that thing that moves inside of us, that gets into our spirits. You know, Jeremiah was a young man when he began to preach. Some say he began to preach as early as 11 or 12 years old. He began to go to the temple and be a prophet. At 12 years old, he's a prophet. And by the time he's a young man in his early 20s, he's endured more than most people in ridicule and people making fun of him and just everything else. And in Jeremiah chapter 20, a chapter that's well known, you may not know anything else about Jeremiah, but I bet you know this, and that is Jeremiah said, I'm not speaking for the Lord anymore. Every time I say something, they laugh at me, they throw rocks at me, they're upset with me, their foreheads are like flint. I'm not going to talk about Jesus or about God anymore. I'm not going to talk about judgment. I refuse to be a prophet. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything else about God. But it was like a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not forbear. I could not forbear because of that fire that burns inside of me, that passion, that zeal that, you know, the Bible says about Jesus. It says, the zeal for thine house has eaten me up. He, you know why he planted a whip? Because the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. You know why he went to the temple every time he had an opportunity? Because the zeal from thy house has eaten me up. And I'm telling you, you can receive a fire from God. You can receive the power of the Holy Spirit burning in your soul. You can have something that takes God past just what you read on the pages of this book and can put him alive down in your innermost being to where you feel his passion. You feel his zeal. It's no longer a struggle to live for the Lord. It's a joy to live for the Lord. It's a passion. It's something that burns in your soul. It's an excitement to see what God's going to do with you today. It's a wonderful thing to think that Talisha's going off. It's a wonderful thing to think that Candace is going to a foreign land. But I'm telling you, they're not doing that just because they want to get out of Fred. They're doing that because there's a fire. There's a passion that's shut up in their bones that says, I want to follow God. I want to see what he can do with my life. There's a zeal within them that wants to be part of what God's doing. And I'm telling you, that zeal and that passion is the thing that'll make you come to church every time the doors are open, not just because I need to do it, but because I'm going there to see what God's doing tonight. I'm coming there to see the power of God be manifest because it's a fire that's shut up in my bones. Whew. Children of Israel, they built this nice temple. Cost about $112 million just in gold, not to mention silver and brass. Had over 125,000 pounds worth of gold in it. It's 90 feet tall, 45 feet long, big, massive structure, full of gold, full of silver, full of, the Bible says it had so much brass, he couldn't even keep up. They didn't have numbers big enough for it. Ran out of numbers. They built this house. They got that big altar out there in the front, you know, the burnt offerings. And they set all that stuff on that altar. Bible, I think it says that Solomon sacrificed 10,000 sheep in dedicating this temple. That's a lot of sheep. That's a lot of cutting and bleeding and burning. But whenever he got ready, he built him a little platform there about 7 foot tall. Got out there and lifted his hands where everybody can see him. I don't think I'm 7 foot off the ground here, but got up there where he lifted his hand where everybody could see him, got on his knees, started praying. And when he finished his prayer, this fire came down from heaven and consumed that altar. And the glory of the Lord filled the place so much that the priests were slain in the spirit. They couldn't, have you, where? How long has it been since you've been in that spot? Have you ever been so caught up with God that you just were lost? Some of you were lost this morning. Some people over here, they were lost. They didn't care what the rest of us were doing. They didn't. We could all left. They didn't wouldn't have cared because they were lost. How long's it been since you've been lost in the presence of the Lord? How long's it been that you've been so consumed with what's going on with the Lord that you just kind of lost track of time? You just kind of lost track of. Last Monday morning, I came in this house and about my normal time. I probably was a little bit late, but about my normal time, I came in here and I started walking these aisles and just doing the normal things I do. And next thing I know, the glory of this Lord's in the house. I am lost in the presence of the Lord. And when I finally come to myself, I look and I've been praying in here for an hour and 15 minutes. An hour and 15 minutes. You know, normally after about 7 minutes, I've blessed everything I can bless and asked for everything I can ask for. And I'm pretty much trying to find something to say for the next. Because I told the Lord I'd stay an hour. Every time I come in here, I stay an hour, you know, but this particular morning, I was walking with him. I was walking these aisles with him. We were talking together. We were communicating. And most of the time for that hour, I was communicating in a language that I didn't understand, but my spirit sure knew what was going on. I knew sometimes what I was saying, but most of the time I didn't know. It was just a fire. It was a refreshing. It was an infilling. It was something that keeps me going. It was something that keeps me moving. And no matter what's going on around me, and I'm telling you, no matter what's going on in the world around us, we're going to have to find that secret place, that place where the Spirit of the Lord comes in like a fire and it causes us to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're lost in what God is doing. lost in his presence, lost in his power, lost in his anointing. Have you ever been doing something to the point that you lost track of time? You looked out across the lake and you said, oh my word, it's getting to be night. I've got to get across. Why did I stay out here this long? You stayed out there because you just got lost. Enjoying the beauty of nature, enjoying fellowship, enjoying watching the kids, whatever you were doing. You just got lost in it. And it's those moments a lot of times that makes life sweet. That's the moments you remember. That's the things you think about. That's the things that enamor you. That's the thing that you say, hey, you remember that time we were out on the lake and we were having such a great time that we forgot what time it was and we had to go back across the lake and we had the light on because it got dark and Dad got lost and didn't know where we were. And you remember that? We thought we were going to run out of gas. You remember? Wasn't that fun? Why did you remember that? Because you got lost in the moment. Because you got lost in what was going on. The love, the peace, the joy of the family was so much that you just didn't, it was all funny. It was all funny. And we're out there riding around the lake and we're lost, yeah, but it was funny. And everybody laughs about it. Why? Because you were lost in it. Because you were enjoying it. Because it was such a blessing. It was just a wonderful moment in your lifetime. And you remember it. Well, I'm telling you, there's moments like that with God. There's moments like that when his fire comes in and burns within. There's moments, singers, whenever you're singing and all of a sudden you realize this isn't me singing. I'm hitting notes I can't hit and saying words I can't say. And next thing I know, people's got their hand lifted and stuff's going on around you. Why? Because you got out of you and you got into him. The fire of the Holy Spirit's now singing through you. And once that fire begins to sing, once that presence begins to manifest itself, we're no longer in an atmosphere surrounded by the world, but we're in a heavenly atmosphere surrounded by the power and the anointing of God. And I'm telling you, it's those moments in time you remember. It's those moments you remember. And you've got to have them. You've got to have those fire moments. You've got to have those moments that are close encounters with God. You've got to have those times whenever you're lost in his presence, when his fire has come down and your offering is consumed. That fire that started that day, if you read on, that fire that started that day, God said it's never supposed to go out. The priest had two jobs. One time a day to go in there and replace the bread and the incense in the inner sanctuary and keep that fire burning 24/7. Their job was to keep that fire burning 24/7. And whenever you begin to read in that Bible and you begin to realize that the nation of Israel is losing their zeal for the Lord, one thing that you'll read in there is it says, and the fire upon the altar went out. And the fire upon the altar went out. Why did it go out? Because they quit tending to it. Because it quit being something they did. They lost who they were. They lost what their job was. They lost what their focus was. They got consumed with how much meat am I getting out of the pot? Am I getting the finest shoulder or am I getting the bottom? What am I getting here? How much are you paying me? You know? Ooh. A lot of times in the ministry today, that's the first question that gets asked you. Well, how much you paying me? I usually hang up on those. How much you paying me? How much you giving me? What's going to make it worth my while to come here? I'll tell you what's going to make it worth your while. A close encounter of the God kind. I don't care if you make $500,000 coming and seeing us. If you don't have a close encounter of the God kind, you wasted it. Because money's nothing but paper. It's nothing but paper, but experience with God is a lifetime. Experience with God will put a fire in your soul. Experience with God will make you able to go to the deepest, darkest, worst place, continent there is and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people that don't want to hear it, and it'll make you enjoy it. Why? Because you're in the presence of God and that fire shut up in your bones and you can't forbear. And all I want to ask you tonight is the fire still burning? Do you have the glory of the Lord in your soul? Do you do what you do because the passion is still burning within you? Or do we do what we do because we know that's what's expected? I know there's moments in time whenever we do what we do because it's our job to do it. I know that. But it should be the exception and not the rule. Right? If the fire goes, my God, if the fire goes out on the altar, you know, I did youth work. Kathy and I did youth work for, I hate to guess because I don't even know, but we did youth work for a long time, probably 10 or 12 years. I'm just guessing. I don't really know, but it was something like that. It was a long time. And, you know, we weren't paid. We really didn't want any money. We just loved what we did. We never hardly. Now, we did once in a while, but for the most part, we never did anything that we didn't think about asking the teenagers to go along with us. But, I mean, if we were going to go to a concert, we just said, well, let's see if they want to go too, you know. If we were going to go do something, we just always solved that because we just loved what we did. Now, there was moments when we just went with our family. I mean, there wasn't every time. But it was most of the time. It was the rule, not the exception, because we loved what we did. And whenever the Lord removed that call in our lives, now, I can tell you when that happened. That happened in the year 1989. I know that. Because Brother Woods had just come to Silsby, and he came in October of 1988. And in 1989, the Lord removed the call on our life to be youth pastors. And I will tell you this, when that call lifted, youth work became a lot of trouble. It was a load. Because they wanted us to continue like we always had in the past, and we no longer had the zeal and the passion to continue to do it. Are you with me? And so instead of it being a joy and something I never thought about, all of a sudden it was, oh, why? Why do y'all want to go to Mazio's after church on Sunday night? Don't you know you got to get up in the morning? Whereas before we used to go down there and laugh at the people that sitting there and watch TV who didn't have TVs in their house. But it became a job. It became work. The passion of it fell away. It no longer was fun. Because the zeal of the Lord and the fire and the call wasn't there. And it's the same thing whenever you're trying to serve the Lord. If you let the fire die, if you get to where you're coming to church just because it's time, and I'm not talking about all the time, but I'm talking about the majority of the time, if you come to church not expecting anything, you come to church and you don't put anything into the praise and worship, you come to church and you just come and you're just here, then I'm telling you, this just becomes a habit. It just becomes difficult. And sometimes you may get to the point where any excuse not to do it will be good enough. You know what I'm talking about? Any excuse will do. Why? Because that's what the children of Israel did. The priests got to where, at the end in Malachi, when you get to Malachi, they're at the end, they're saying, well, you know, what good is it to be a priest and serve the Lord? Why? There's no advantage to this. That's where they get to. But I want to tell you, there is great advantage to serving the Lord. There's great advantage to having a fire shut up in your bones. There's great advantage to feeling the zeal and the power and the anointing of God when you get into a situation and whenever you're beginning to pray. Have you ever begun to pray for something and all of a sudden there's a spirit that rises up within you, and next thing you know good and well that you're not praying out of what you know. You're praying out of what's inside of you. The blessing of the Lord is coming forth. The power of Jesus Christ is speaking now. This is the Holy Ghost shut up like a fire in my bones that's now proclaiming the promises and the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what it is. And I'm telling you, as long as we can keep that fire burning in our soul, we can allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit. And as long as we can move as He moves, as long as we can be a part of what He's doing, then I'm telling you, you'll be able to walk this walk with victory and anointing, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Whenever the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning in your soul, then there's nothing that you do for God that becomes difficult. It's all a joy. It's all something that's fun, because serving Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Jesus is crucified, dies. Third day they go to his tomb. The stones roll back. Nobody's real sure what's going on. Mary Magdalene comes back there and says she's seen him and she's talked with him. The disciples go running over there. They find his clothes folded up on top of the sepulcher. Nobody really is sure what's happening. And there's two guys that's walking about 6 miles to a city called Emmaus. And as they're walking, this stranger comes up and says, "Mind if I walk with you?" And they say, "No, yeah, go ahead." And he kind of plays dumb and says, "Well, what's been going on?" And they said, "Hadn't you heard what's happening in Jerusalem?" And they begin to tell him about Jesus being crucified. And then this stranger starts unfolding scriptures to him. He starts telling them how the scripture confirmed that the Messiah had to be crucified, become the suffering servant so that he could become the conquering king. It unfolds to them. And then they get to where they're going and he makes like he would go further. And the two guys say, "Hey, come on in and eat supper with us." And when they got in there and they set the table, the stranger stands up to offer the blessing. And when he blesses it, immediately the two guys see him and they say, "That's Jesus. That was Jesus." He disappeared out of their sight. That was him. That was him. And what did they do next? They skipped supper. They ran 6 miles. 6 miles back to Jerusalem. And in between their huffing and puffing, they said what? "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke?" Did you feel that? Did you feel that fire burning in my spirit as he was speaking to us? You know? Didn't you experience that? And oh God, excuse me. I want to ask you. Do every now and then, do you feel that fire? Do you feel that anointing? Do you feel that praise just welling up in your spirit? Do you see church every now and then as something more than just a place that we come to two or three or four times a week, a building that we come to so we can be fed? "Oh, I don't want to go to that church anymore because I'm not being fed." My Lord, here's some bread. Come to church with enough inside of you that you can give it to somebody that does need it. Let it come to church with a fire shut up in your bones that you're ready to help somebody else that is down and out. Everybody can't come here hungry. Everybody don't need to come here hungry. Some of us need to come here with a fire in our bones, shut up in our spirit, ready to see the power and the glory of God fall in this house. There have been times in this church where I have come in here by myself, maybe me and Kathy, on a Sunday night, and come in here, and there was a haze between me and these lights. I have come in this church and seen that haze and rubbed my eyes thinking, "Oh man, what is wrong with my eyes?" Realizing that it's not my eyes. There's something in this house. There's something in this house. I've told you this story, but I'm going to tell it to you again. After COVID, whenever we came up here and decided we were going to start trying to have church up here in the church because I got tired of preaching in my living room and I wanted to stand behind this pulpit and I wanted to be in this house. Even though it was just me and Kathy and David Cravey and a little dump truck with tie wraps holding our camera up and Sister Ann. That's all that was in here. But we got here that first morning, and you can believe me or not, I don't care. But we got here that first morning, we were going to do this, and me and David Cravey were walking in that door right there, and when we opened that door, there was a wind that came out of this place that sent shivers down both of us, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh my God, did you feel that?" I said, "I'd have to be dead not to feel it." What was it? It's the same glory of the Lord that's right here. It's the same glory. It's the same God. It's the same fire. It's the same anointing. Let God that answers by fire, let him be God. I said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. There's more to serving God than just making the donuts and showing up. There's a God that answers by fire. There's a God that answers by an anointing. There's a God that answers by a power. There's a God that answers by signs and wonders and miracles. There's a God that still lives upon a throne who calls us, who anoints us, who empowers us, who fills us with the Holy Spirit, who allows the glory of the Lord to fill our lives so that we can continue to be passionate about the things of God and passionate about our worship. And I just want to say tonight to you, is that fire? Is there something in your spirit that's just a zeal, an anointing, something that just burns within your soul, and sometimes you're just overtaken? Have you ever had to pull the car to the side of the road because you were listening to praise music and you got so lost in the power of God right there in your truck or your car? Have you ever had to pull it to the side of the road because you just couldn't see anymore to drive, and the Spirit of the Lord was just so strong inside of you that you said, I can't drive this thing anymore? Have you ever been there? You know, all I'm saying tonight is this. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity because Jesus ascended on the third day and presented his blood into the holiest of holies, and man became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and now we're justified and redeemed. And when those two things happen, then we became able to be accessed by the power of God. We became able to enjoy the very blessings of the Lord. We became the only difference between me right now and me in heaven is this body. It's this body. This is the only difference. I'll be filled with the same Spirit over there I'm filled with here. I'll have the same anointing that I have here. What's the difference? The difference is this body. I can only enjoy as much as this body can stand. And I want to tell you right now, as for me, my prayer in 2024 is, God, keep me filled to the point that I can stand. Keep me anointed to the moment that I can stand. Lord God, let your Spirit and your power fall in this house, in this temple, until your glory... These guys couldn't take it. They fell on their faces. I tell you what, I'm a candidate for that. I'll tell you right now, I'm a candidate for that. I'm a candidate. If God wants to anoint me and put me on my face right here behind this pulpit, I'll tell you what, it'll be all right with this boy. It'll be okay with me. I don't have to stand up here and tell you. I can lay on the floor and God can speak to your hearts. It's been several years now. Been several years now. But one morning I was up here and the glory of the Lord hit me. Some people were praying for me. I don't remember who all was praying for me. But I do remember when the glory of the Lord hit me, I fell on the floor. And I do remember Cricket covered me up. Because it got so hot I had to pull the cover down. So I remember that. I know that we had somebody else here at the church at that time, and he felt led to come up and kind of take over the service, and he did, and it was in order, and it was fine. But I'm going to tell you this, when I got up off that floor, it was 1:30. I had laid on that floor for almost an hour and a half. Lost, didn't care what time it was. Tried to get up a couple of times, and the Lord said, why? Why do you want to leave? I said, I really don't. Then lay down. Rest, son. Just rest a minute while I pour into you. While I pour into you. How many times do we try to deal with the cares of life whenever just a few minutes of being in the presence of God and allowing that fire to burn in our bones and allowing us to pray the prayers of the Holy Spirit and allows us to minister and to speak life into things that are dead, to speak life into a valley of dead, dry bones, to prophesy the will of God over things that are dead. But that comes when that fire moves in our spirit. Some people rise and sing. Some people dance. Some people lay on the floor. Some people weep. Some people do all of them. It's not the physical action that's important. It's the spiritual thing that rises up within us. It's that power of God. You know, I've read a lot of stories, and I'm going to close here. But I've read a lot of stories. Whenever I was in high school, I got a book called Medal of Honor Winners, and I read stories about the men in the United States military that have won Medal of Honors and their situation and how it happened. And I'm going to tell you, without exception, every one of them will tell you this: I was just doing my duty. None of them say, well, yeah, I felt heroic that day, and I went in there, and I busted a few heads. None of them say that. Most of them said they didn't want it. They said they didn't deserve it. They were just doing their duty like everybody else. But when you read their story, they went superhuman on you. And it wasn't because of anything except the passion that they had inside of them to save their buddies and win the battle. They saw their buddies dying, and something inside of them snapped. And when it did, they lost all consciousness of fear. They lost all consciousness of the possibility of death. They lost all consciousness of everything around them. And the only thing that was most important to them was saving their buddies and doing what they could to help win the battle. At Guadalcanal, a guy named John Bassalone single-handedly wiped out a large group of Japanese soldiers, and he did it while unjamming machine guns, because they weren't that well known back in those days. He carried these guns while they were smoking hot, burned his hands, burned his arms. He carried ammo back and forth, ran along a trek, had to fight the enemy to get the ammo, fight the enemy to get back. His story is phenomenal. Why did you do that? Because I saw my buddies in trouble, and I didn't want to lose the battle. I'm telling you something. Maybe we need to catch a vision of not wanting to lose the battle. There is no reason for us to lose our teenagers to some pinheaded, narrow-minded professor in a college classroom that starts trying to tell them how God is dead, or how that they evolved from something goofy. Or some psychology professor or philosophy professor that begins to try to jumble their brain with philosophy that he can't even answer. There's no reason for us to do that. Why? Because we have the opportunity at Oak Grove to be filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We have an opportunity to experience God beyond just passing the offering plate and singing a few songs. We have the opportunity to know God in a close way, such that we know that His fire can be shut up in our bones. His Spirit can fill our souls. We can be filled with the glory of God. We can be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can have close encounter of the God kind. We can see Him heal. We can see Him set free. We can see Him deliver. We can see Him anoint. Hallelujah. We have the opportunity to experience God. Oh, that is unlimited and only limited by our ability to want to seek after Him. And all I'm saying tonight, church, is let's go after Him. Let's go after Him. Let's make church more than just somewhere we come and sing a couple of songs and listen to some tongues and some interpretations and leave out of here and go in the car and say, well, I heard that last week. Well, you won't hear it like that when there's a fire shut up in your bones. It'll begin to speak to you. The Holy Spirit said this morning, from all the stuff that happened this morning, at the end of the service, the Holy Spirit said, every word I have said has struck a heart. So this morning you could have said, man, how long is this going to go? Or you could have been feeling the power of the Holy Spirit as His words were going forth. What's the difference? The difference is the fire on the altar and the glory of the Lord that's filled your life. I'm going to quit. Stand with me tonight if you would. Mike, could I get you to come back this morning? You and the team, could y'all come back for just a minute? Just a minute. I know I hadn't gone too long because the sun's still out. I can see it right there. Sun's not even down. So I know I didn't preach too long. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm telling you, it's a world of difference whenever you move from church being something that you do to church being something that you are. You know, one of the things, and I know you're standing, and I'm closing. I just want to tell you one more quick thing. One of the things I always love about youth camp, one of the things that I always love about youth camp is that kids that go to youth camp, you basically fill their day with stuff to do so that you can get to the evening service. You fill their day with stuff to do to keep them occupied because all you're focused on is the evening service. Have you ever been to camp? Have you ever experienced camp? That's the only thing that's important is the evening service. I mean, we do other things, and you give them 10,000 points for winning volleyball games, and you go swimming, and you do that stuff. But for the most part, we're there for one reason, and that's to get to that evening service. Those kids come to that evening service, and they're on fire. Now, they're not the first night, but about the second night, they come there electrified. And the Thursday night at camp is always the night where you don't know if you're going to go to your bunk or not. If you've never been to camp, that's the way it always was. That's the way it is. Is the third night or fourth night of camp, the glory of God comes down in those altar services, and you're not really sure that you're going to ever get to your bunk that night because the power of God. Why did that happen? It happened because they came to camp with one expectation, and that is, I'm going to have a close encounter with God. They may not have said that, but when you come to the services, it's obvious that that's their expectation. Amen. And all I want to tell us tonight is, we don't have to wait for a once-a-year revival event, which we're going to have one here in September, but we don't have to wait for a once-a-year revival event to have that fire burning in our soul and to experience the glory of the Lord. That presence can be in your life tonight. That power can be within your spirit tonight. He's here in this house. We felt His presence right before I took the offering. You all got very quiet. You felt the presence of the Lord as He was in here. And I don't think my preaching of the Word has caused that presence to diminish. I hope it's whetted your appetite. So tonight, just for a few minutes, and then we'll dismiss. Just for a few minutes, as they sing, I want you to ask yourself this question. Could I have church if Jesus wasn't here? If you go to Revelation chapter 3, you'll find the church at Laodicea is having church and Jesus is on the outside knocking on the door. And if you look, there's no doorknob on the outside. That's what the drawing says. That's not what Scripture says. But He says, let me come in. They're having church without Him. And all I want to ask us tonight is this. If Jesus wasn't here, could we still sing like Mike sings? Could we still worship? Could we still? Because if we can have church and Jesus not here, then we've lost the fire and we've lost the glory. But if we have to have Jesus here in order to experience God and have church, then that tells me that there's still a fire burning on my altar. There's still something shut up in my bones. There's still a glory that exists within me. There's still something that's chasing after God. And so just for a few minutes tonight before we dismiss, as Mike and the team leads us here, if you want to come to the front, that's fine. If you want to stay where you're at, that's fine. If you want to kneel, if you want to stand, whatever you want to do. But I want you just to look inside yourself and say, is that fire still burning on my altar? Is the glory of the Lord still surrounding me as I go about my daily business? Or have I let that thing go out to where I'm just simply going through the motions? I still lift my hands. I still say amen. I still sing. But there's no passion. There's no burning desire. There's no fire shut up in me tonight. And if you find yourself in that state, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will come, and I will heal their land. Would you just worship with me for a minute? However you'd like to do it, just worship tonight.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will say of the goodness of God. Sing it again. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my nights. more close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the good.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after.
Then all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Sing it again.
And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness.
Ignites a fire in your soul this week. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. I pray that you're burned up by His Spirit, burned up by His anointing, burned up by His passion. That's the thing that keeps us going. That's the thing that keeps church, amen. Is the fire that's shut up in our bones.
Yes, hallelujah.
The expectation of something great from the Lord. So this week, why don't you make that a prayer? God, ignite a fire. Not a fire within my bones, God. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Almighty God, for this service tonight, oh God. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that we're filling in this house tonight, oh God, the glory of the Lord. I pray, Lord God, that it moves within our souls, oh God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, that this house, oh God, is a house of prayer, oh God. Father God, that this house, oh God, is a house, Lord God, where you're experienced, Father. Lord God, to where atheists can say, there is a God. Because I've seen His body. I've seen His body in action. I've experienced His touch. God, may this house be that kind of house, oh God. Where men that enter this house, Lord, know that they've come into the presence of the Lord because of the fire and the glory that fills these walls, Father. God, and I thank you for your passion tonight, God. I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to meet with my brothers and my sisters, God. And I pray, Almighty God, and thank you, Father God, for igniting fires in their homes within their lives, oh God. Bless us and keep us, oh God. And bring us back, oh God, into your house, Father. Give us an opportunity tomorrow, Lord God, to be able to be a witness for you to somebody, Lord God.
Lord, that we could lay our hands on them and pray, Lord God, and see you move in a great and mighty way, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Regular services this week, Tuesday morning prayer at 10:30, Wednesday night church, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Let the Lord start a fire. Amen.